You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. And because I'm on my annual summer beach vacay, I wanted to share some summer reading from my book with you right now. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. So, you know I wrote a book, right? Well, even though it's a cooking one, I was able to stuff more words in it than I do spinach in smoothies. And in this episode, which I'm recording just before I go on my annual summer beach vacation, where I will be glued to sand and books for 3 weeks, I wanted to read some of the words in my book to you, all about having a house party in your plants. Obviously, if this floats your boat or finds your lost remote, you have my full blessing to purchase Party in Your Plants, 100+ plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without dating your life. You can buy this anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. Partyinyourplants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop-a-doodle-do your fingers over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart to buy yourself and your best friend and her 13 best friends a copy today. That is partyinyourplants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book, which an Amazon reader said, "Talia's down-to-earth approach to food is what I've been looking for my entire adult life. Since I found her podcast about a year ago, I've binged on her super practical, easy-to-apply tips and have made such a difference in my life. Now that all of Talia's advice comes in one hilarious guide, I am so, so thrilled. I love the creativity in her recipes and her honest talk about making healthy eating fit into our lives, not the other way around. The health community is crowded with so many often conflicting voices that it starts to feel overwhelming. Talia's level-headed and fun approach to plant-based lifestyle is a clear voice in the crowd that passionately yells, you can do this. Wow! Wow, well, you can do this, and I can do the thanking you for such a kind review, and to you, listener, for hopefully maybe purchasing my book. And I want to thank our sponsor today, which is a thing that my house is never without. Four Sigmatic Shroom Powders and Products. I'm already so hooked on their magic mushrooms of many varieties. In the winter, I love their hot tea-like packets, but here in the summer, I am all about their lattes, which come in packets that I dump into a blender with some almond milk and water and a little honey or stevia and blend up and then pour over ice. They have three types that I could drink by the gallon. They're golden milk lattes with turkey trail mushrooms that support your immune system. They have chai lattes with reishi mushrooms, which are stress-less shrooms. And they've got matcha with lion's mane, which is great for jacking and lighting up the brain. They're all heaven in a ball jar with a eco-friendly metal straw. But I'm in the midst of getting my coffee-addicted family, with whom I am on vacation, as hooked on Four Sig's Shroomy Coffees, since they're so much smarter for one's body than non-Four Sigmatic coffees. I brought a big bag of ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane with me on vacay for my fam to enjoy in the coffee machine and for me to judge them less for having multiple cups of a day. I feel a lot less icky about them drinking this coffee since it's obviously organic, fair trade, vegan, and since they, Four Sigmatic, swoop their shrooms into the mix, the lion's mane and chaga that they add keeps the caffeine under control to support clean, focused energy, sans crashing, which is a blessing because a family vacation is hard enough without the caffeine crazies, if you know what I mean. Because you listen to this podcast, thank you so much for that, by the way, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sig Shroomy stuff you want to buy off their site. Four, spelled out F-O-U-R, Sigmatic, S-I-G-M-A-T-I-C.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just type in foursigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS for the auto 15% off woo-hoo. Okay, well, I'm going to read a little sampling from part 3, which starts on page 28, entitled Plant Partying at Home, where other people are unavoidable and wearing pants is optional. Once you begin to give more hoots about your health and happiness, it might be surprising how often you find yourself in the kitchen. Forget bars, hotels, clubs, banquet halls, Chuck E. Cheese's. The party now takes place within a 5-foot radius of your fridge. When you start to care about what you put into your mouth each day, you'll realize that most restaurants aren't particularly skilled in making energy-boosting, digestion-friendly meals. It makes sense that healthy eating would come most naturally at home. Things are easiest when you have control over what comes in, what goes out, and what gets stuffed into Monica's secret closet. But becoming your own personal chef is a big role to take on, which is why this part of the book is designed to help you adjust to your new job title with ease and confidence. No need to audit community college home ec. Learning to feel cool and collected while whipping up something that pleases both your palate and your body is the number one thing you can and really must do in order to take your plant partying to the next level. Here's how. Be a basic bitch or a bro. Basic bitch is a horrific term for a human, but a useful synonym for how you should stock your kitchen, with dime a dozen items that'll make knowing what to cook a cinch. The things to keep in your home are B to the ASIC to the max. Trendy foods can suck it. If Mother Nature could talk, she'd be LOLing at people who spend their moolah on fancy pants products. These superfoods, super trendy, super expensive, super flashy, super well-branded foods are like fancy pants. Sparkly, but unnecessary. Last I checked, regular pants still serve their purpose. They cover your tush, keep your legs warm, and allow you to go more times between shaves. While those paper bag waist trousers that were on fire in 2017 are just sitting in your closet, your old faithful jeans are the goods. I hope you're still with me because this is a perfect metaphor for superfood products, fancy plants. Healthy eating is not about the snack du jour. It's about getting to know the basics day in and day out and treating yourself to those fancy pants, I mean plants, occasionally. Nobody can patent a lemon. Nobody can trademark spinach. Nobody can really profit from those basic plants. So businesses create prettily packaged, expensive products with superstar ingredients so they can make their pretty pennies. Some of those products rock. Like in the case of this podcast episode, for Sigmatics, but they're not required. I also want to note that eating trendy foods on top of an otherwise unhealthy diet won't do shit for your health. You can't go out for pepperoni pizza and eat chia pudding for dessert and call it even. As comedian Mitch Hedberg said, that would be cool if you could eat a good food with a bad food and the good food would cover for the bad food when it got into your stomach. Like you could eat a carrot with an onion ring and they would travel down to your stomach and then they would get there and the carrot would say, it's cool, he's with me. That would be cool, Mitch. But truth is, eating basic most of the time is what's really cool. So when it comes to plotting the staples in your kitsch, think basic bitch. Basic ingredients. If you don't keep healthy food in your home, you won't keep putting healthy food in your mouth. So meet my basic bitches. I encourage you to befriend them as well. And if any of them seem intimidating, never fear. I'll be explaining the more obscure ingredients as we go. And then, listener, I go through all the basic bitches I suggest for your fridge. And this is on page 31. I hit up your freezer and your pantry, aka your storage, your cabinet, your counter, the IKEA bins under your bed. I'm not going to list out all that stuff right now. It'll sound weird on a podcast, but check out page 31 in the book for all those lists. So I'll just read some more from the plant partying at home section. So I have this little bit about frozen plants. Frozen plants. Some people wonder about the meaning of life, and others wonder about the healthiness of frozen fruits and veggies. For the latter group, I have the answer. Frozen fruits and veggies are stellar. Those baggies are frozen at peak ripeness, at which time they've reached their nutritional height. Freezing locks down their nutrients like a time capsule, so you can defrost at your leisure and add them to any meal like gummy vitamins without the gummy. In my book, which this is, frozen veggies are the ultimate win-win-win. They're a win because they're so nutritious. They're a win because they don't go bad in the back of your fridge, causing you to hit your face with your hand. And they're a win because they're cheap. All that to say, maybe the meaning of life is frozen produce? Fermented food. Much like Windex at big fat Greek weddings, there's not much fermented foods can't do. Raw sauerkraut, kombucha, kimchi, miso, dairy-free yogurts, tempeh, and apple cider vinegar all help your digestion soar to new heights with their probiotic goodness. The more good bacteria and enzymes in our guts, the better and quicker our bodies get rid of the bad stuff. So fermented foods can speed up that whole process. This also helps with liver function, especially if it's struggling a bit after happy hour. The antibiotics we take when we get sick, as well as the standard American diet, wipe out the happy bacteria in our bellies, which compromises our immune system. Fermented foods can help strengthen our immunity, hot topic right now, so we can kick colds in the crotch. I haven't read these bits for a while. All right, now there's another list here. I'm on page 33. I'm trying to flip the page to get to the next page. Why can't this page flip? Okay. Oh, okay, fun. I'm on 35. Sea salt or pink salt? Pink's not just pretty. Those crystals might be aesthetically worthy of replacing the diamond in my engagement ring, but that's not why it's the only salt I buy. Pink or Himalayan salt is the cleanest and healthiest salt on the planet. And yes, it's the same used to make those Pinterest-ready lamps you see at spas and Urban Outfitters. Himalayan salt is far superior to that regular old table salt because it's unrefined, unprocessed, and mega rich in minerals. It has over 84 and helps balance our body's pH levels, which can make a big difference in our overall health. Basically, you're going to be using salt, so you might as well make it the prettiest and purest one you can get. Here's a real estate lesson. I once had an organizational expert on my podcast to whom I confessed sometimes ordering delivery solely because the idea of shuffling through my pan collection was too overwhelming. The lesson she taught me was, don't just keep things around because they look good. If you only use that giant stand mixer twice a year, it doesn't need to be cluttering your counter when your less sexy spiralizer could be sitting there in its place, tempting you to make zucchini noodles weekly. Take a good hard look at which gizmos you use all the time and which you hardly use any of the time, and tailor your storage solutions around that. I use coconut oil spray, liquid stevia, mushroom powder, apple cider vinegar, pink salt, matcha, my waffle iron, my blender, my spiralizer, my small saucepan, my large saute pan at least once a day, so they're all mainstays. Okay, if conditioner can be shaving cream, I love this section. I'm on page 39. Sometimes the mere idea of following a recipe can make you run right into the arms of a restaurant or your delivery app. Recipes are rad. They're helpful. This book has more than 100 of them. But they're not necessarily necessary. You know how when you're in the shower and you realize you want to shave before you leg flirt with your hot yoga instructor, but you're out of shaving cream, so you just grab some body wash or conditioner and shave with that instead, and the world doesn't fall apart? Same goes for subbing kale for spinach, or yellow onions for white ones, or almond butter for peanut butter. My point is, do your best. Use what you have. If you need to blend a smoothie with water instead of almond milk, don't have a cow. If you need to sub cane sugar for coconut sugar, sweet. If the recipe calls for 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, but you only have one, don't run out to the store. Just make it with one. Here are a few other tips for recipe-less cooking. 1, don't get too attached. Eventually, you won't have to follow recipes all the time. Why? Once you learn how you like your plants prepared, massaged kale, roasted sweet potatoes, sauteed onions, boiled edamame, and how to whip up a dressing or sauce by eyeballing the ingredients, making a meal will be a breeze. 2, get your greens at every meal. Just like a margarita feels off without a lime, a meal feels wrong without something green. Whether it's a smoothie, a sandwich, or a side of steamy veggies, try to make sure there's always a leafy green involved. And 3, the most underrated kitchen tool, your eyeballs. The nutrients found in fruits and veggies can be categorized by color, which makes it easy to create a balanced meal just by looking at the rainbow on your plate. You'll grow to instinctively know when your plate needs something orange or green. Suit yourself. Another way to easily eat more plants without hating or radically changing your life is to be more like Steve Jobs, President Obama, Mark Zuckerberg, and Simon Cowell. There's a reason these powerful men make a point of wearing the same outfit every day. Because one outfit is simply all they can afford. Wait, scratch that. In recent years, scientists have found out that the decision-making energy is a depletable resource. Decision fatigue means that the more choices you make throughout the day, the more exhausted your brain becomes, and eventually you start leaning on laziness, impulsiveness, and what freaking everness. As Obama said when he was still living in the White House, "I only wear gray or blue suits. I'm trying to pare down decisions. I don't want to make decisions about what I'm eating or wearing because I have too many other decisions to make." Almost everyone feels that dinner is the most difficult meal to get a handle on. Does any of this sound familiar? "I'm great with breakfast since I have a green smoothie or oatmeal, and lunch is usually a salad, but dinner is the issue. Dinners are tough because my husband just wants something filling after a long day, and it's hard to be inventive and make evening meals as healthy as possible when I'm tired. I am completely fried after a long day, which means I unfortunately usually eat something unhealthy like fries." Remember, the more choices you make, the more exhausted your brain becomes, and eventually your decisions fall back on laziness, impulsiveness, and one freaking everness. The goal with healthy eating is to eat well all day long, not just like until it's dark and your brain is kaput and you order pizza. The way you make your brain not kaput is by not expending so much freaking energy on your food. Take advantage of mixing matching. I rotate through like 3 breakfasts, 6 snacks, 2 lunches, 8 dinners, and 2 desserts each week. Look at what you ate today and consider, how can you vary your plants while keeping a familiar foundation so you don't waste any brain power? If you started your day with oatmeal and blueberries, what if tomorrow you added banana and a dollop of peanut butter instead? And the day after that, you went tropical with chopped pineapple and coconut. And then you went dessert for breakfast because it's Friday and mixed in cacao nibs and almond butter. And then you went superfood buck wild and added chia seeds and goji berries. And you wrapped up the week with apple pie oatmeal, apple, cinnamon, raw walnuts, and raisins. Here are some kitchen tools that'll make kitchen life much more bitchin'. A salad spinner. Think of a salad spinner like a hair dryer. Your hair can dry without one, but it'll take longer and get your shoulders wet. A salad spinner takes the wet-washed greens and whips them around fast to centrifuge the water, making them perfectly dry and clean. Which is nice if you don't like eating a salad bowl full of wet, soggy lettuce. A steamer basket. You'll want a steamer basket, which is a ridiculously cheap piece of kitchen equipment that I liken to a loofah, the opposite of hip, but highly underrated. To use a steamer basket, expand it in a pot. Add water, but only enough so it's just about coming through the basket. Turn the stove onto high heat, cover the pot, and once you hear the water boiling and you see steam wafting up through the holes in the steamer basket, add your veggie, secure the lid, and let the steam do its work. A food processor. Having a food processor in addition to a blender is a luxury, perhaps, but one that'll make life so much easier. Like your car having heated seats in the winter, your workout top having thumb holes, or your feet having rain boots in the rain. The absence of those things won't kill you, but doesn't their presence make your life better, easier, and more comfortable? Such is the story with a food processor. What differentiates a food processor from a blender is the blade. A processor's blade is designed for chopping. A blender's blade is designed for blending. Each excels at the things the other struggles with. For example, a food processor can chop up perfect salsa, while a blender will make your salsa a gazpacho. A food processor can chop up your nuts for granola, while a blender will turn your nuts into dust. They can both puree for creamy soup, banana ice cream, or smooth sauce. Basically, blenders need liquid to get the job done. A food processor doesn't. If you're just making food for yourself or yourself plus one, a small processor will be all you need. A spiralizer. A spiralizer is a weird device, both in look and sound. It is weird. It is really, really weird. But I encourage you not to resist. The spiralizer was born to help create those garnishes that are typically seen on Asian dishes in restaurants. I guess somewhere along the way, someone decided that veggie noodles were a waistline-friendly way to replace a bowl of carb-filled pasta, so the zoodle, zucchini noodle, was created. Since then, innovative eaters have learned to spiralize sweet potatoes into swoodles, butternut squash into boodles, bell peppers into poodles, and apples into apple pasta. And finally, I'll leave you here, listener, with what's with all the glass jars? It's hard to find a Pinterest smoothie that's not in a mason jar. Look, glass jars are awesome. They feel enchanting on your lips. They have a nice heft to them. Cleaning them is a breeze. They're environmentally friendly. They don't leak plastic chemical crap into your non-crap food. And they cost little to nothing. An old nut butter jar makes a perfect smoothie cup. They also make great overnight oats containers, are wonderful for storing leftover sauces and soups, and are lovely all-around glassware and cocktail glasses. Bottom line, save your pickle jars. Okay, so now I'm going to read a little from later in the plant partying at home chapter, part, section on page 98, and this is called Healthy Eating When You're Home Alone, How to Not Eat Everything But the Kitchen Sink When You Work From Home or Just Live There. Now, listener, I obviously wrote this very pre-COVID, so it's very applicable to all of us right now as we're pretty much all eating, living, working, doing everything, schooling, exercising, mating, everything at home. Okay. Sometimes when I'm dicing an onion, I look at my knife and think, I'm casually holding a potential murder weapon. Then I realize that maybe I watch a little too much true crime. But then I conclude that it's my decision to make the knife a partner in a healthy dinner versus a Dexter-esque partner in crime. And that's empowering. The same thing can be said about a fridge and pantry full of food sitting in our homes at all times. Only you can choose to make that food a danger zone or just a place to keep it fresh and organized. Since I work from home, I could eat out of my fridge and pantry all day long. Nobody would know. My only coworker wouldn't judge me, though he might eat any food I drop right off the ground. He's a dog. Here are two ways I refrain from turning my home into a 24/7 Vegas-style buffet. One, I eat regular meals. Just like a normal person working in an office takes a lunch break around some hours after breakfast and then heads out for dinner and does not saunter over to the communal fridge every 5 minutes, braless and in sweatpants to grab another bite, I hold myself to the same standards, except for the bra, because why would I do that to myself? Two, I worship ramekins. I first got my hands on these small ceramic bowls in culinary school where they held our mises, the pre-chopped or pre-portioned ingredients that maximize your efficiency. In case you want to learn some trivia, mise en place is a French phrase that roughly translates to everything in its place. But ramekins are palm size, which happen to be perfect snack size. I use ramekins to portion out cut up fruit, nuts, granola, popcorn, crackers, and chia pudding. Okay, bonus one, number three. I love what I do. What? Career advice in a plant food book? Stay in your lane, Talia. Well, considering that finding fulfillment from my day-to-day doings distracts me from needing to fill an empty void with fridge food, I feel like that's healthy eating advice I'm qualified to pass along. How to make cooking time less than eating time when you're eating stag. I have a rule that when I'm eating dinner alone, cooking time cannot surpass eating time. Two reasons. It incentivizes me to slow down as I eat because I don't want eating time to be less than prep time. It also permits me to do what I refer to as bowling and to utilize the crap out of my leftovers on bowling. When I enrolled in culinary school, I was determined to learn how to kick ass in my kitchen. And I did. I learned and ate a lot. And I came out of it thinking I was going to be a gourmet at-home chef. I imagined myself whipping up perfectly pureed and delicately garnished soups for my significant other's sick days, baking and frosting photogenic three-tiered cakes for family birthdays, and tossing salads that rival those at the Four Seasons. So when I found myself eating bowls of quinoa with pesto and some stray veggies for dinner, I was confused. Ditto when I noticed that I was drinking easy smoothies each morning. But then I realized that gourmet doesn't always mean yay and simple food puts me in a better mood. I was intuitively doing something pretty cool, bowling. Bowling is perfect for when you don't want to fuss with three dish meals, you don't want to deal with cleanup, and honestly, you just want to shove something tasty into your mouth. It's a super duper easy way to eat filling meals without being a whiz in the kitchen or a millionaire at the supermarket. All you do is throw three or four ingredients in a bowl, and you've got a filling, nutritious, and tasty bowl of goodness. My fail-proof formula is protein plus produce plus texture plus moisture plus fun flavor equals a bowl. And listener, I go in depth on this on page 99 with a great graphic chart. Sure, sometimes it's fun to make a restaurant quality dinner. You plan it out, pull recipes from cookbooks, make a grocery list, throw in comfy clothes, hit up the store, blast bouncy tunes, and rock out as you cook something special. But most of the time, I prefer the time I take to cook to be less than the time I take to eat. You too? Perf. Then bowling is for you. On making leftovers the best overs. I am so anti-batch cooking, you could call me the no-batch bitch. The idea of spending my whole Sunday cooking when I could be living seems as absurd as getting my fingernails painted in a color other than top coat when I know they'll just chip on my walk home from the salon. Instead, I implement this simple philosophy. When I make any, I make many. I double, triple, even quadruple every single thing that I make. Why get my booty in the kitchen, my hands covered in garlic, my kitchen coated in lemon juice, and my floor sprinkled with kale shavings just to create a one-time thing? When you make something, make many portions. If a recipe only calls for one cup of quinoa, cook three. Portion out a third, use it in the recipe, and then save the leftover two-thirds. Sauce? Double it. Baked goods? Double them and freeze the leftovers. The only thing that's not leftoverable is a smoothie. Everything else is fair game. Leftovers can be the difference between eating crap and eating healthy. They can be the difference between eating when you're hungry or not eating when you're hungry. Read their hangry helpers. Leftovers work in two ways. One, you can make and store dishes like soups, salads, or pastas that you can just heat up or eat cold. Two, you can make and store leftover ingredients like plain quinoa, roasted tempeh, or baked sweet potatoes to use with other ingredients and make epic impromptu dishes on the fly. Here are some tips to make leftovers the best overs. Save everything. Against Jesse's instincts or minimalist wishes, I will save anything edible. I don't care if that's 3 tablespoons of peas, 1/4 cup of quinoa, 1/2 jar packed with pumpkin puree, or a small bite of a snack ball. True story. I always find myself using the stuff I save in things like bowling dinners and in turn doing stuff I enjoy, things like bowling in alleys, in the extra time I saved. Don't forget the lubrication. In this book, you'll find some dressings, spreads, and sauces. Commit those recipes to memory, or at least commit to making many when you make any, so you always have some of them standing by in jars in your fridge to elevate your leftovers and your bowling. If you find yourself lubeless, though, don't panic. A drizzle of olive oil, lemon juice, tamari, or tahini can also elevate a leftover meal. Maybe not into best overs, but into great overs. Test drive many vehicles. Though forks and spoons are technically all you need to help leftovers travel to your mouth, I suggest you test out other vehicles as well. Leftover veggies and proteins go nicely over kale that you massaged with lemon juice plus a drizzle of olive oil and a couple of pinches of salt. Leftovers on top of quinoa is a true resurrection. Pizza crust, like the one in customizable chickpea pizza on page 72, baked sweet potato, pasta, and quesadillas rock with tofu, tempeh, and random scraps of veggies. And when in doubt, or whenever you really want, just wrap them up in a wrap. Get your freezer in on the fun. Your freezer can really take the plant party to the next level and help you eat healthfully next time you're too tired to cook dinner. Soups, chilies, and some casseroles freeze beautifully, as do extra grains, sauces, and legumes. If you have the space in your home and your budget, you could even get an extra freezer specifically for leftovers, I say wistfully from my 700-square-foot Brooklyn apartment. Updated, podcast listener, we have since purchased a house with an extra fridge/freezer in our garage. Woohoo, winning. Goals come true. Okay, use glass to save your ass. Tinted windows are cool if you're avoiding paparazzi or the cops, but for leftovers, they're about as uncool as it gets. As brain-boosting as your healthy diet might help you be, you're never going to remember what the heck is sitting in that old yogurt container, so store leftovers in glass. It's better for your food, the environment, and your wallet if you rinse out pasta sour jars, pickle jars, and nut butter jars. And last, divide and conquer. As best as you can, portioning out your leftover in individual containers can be a lifesaver. I'm not saying separate each layer of leftover lasagna into its own Tupperware, but if you have extra sweet potato, save it separately from the black beans. Also, only dress what you're going to wear. I mean, eat. Don't put sauces on things you plan to save, as that will make those things not as tasty when you go back for them later. And that leads us to a... If you don't know, my book is divided by real life situations, and this leads right into the situation for when you're eating solo. And I have some recipes for when you're eating solo, when you want dessert for one, when you're cozily reading a book in a nook or doing anything in slippers. And so it this stuff leads into some really fun recipes coupled with these really awesome, practical, healthy eating at home events. So there you have it. How I love to plant party at home. When I wrote this, I could not have predicted that we'd all pretty much solely be plant partying at home. So I really hope this helps you turn your casa into a healthy haven. I also wrote all this before I discovered the air fryer, which is a thing I would have definitely added to the list of tools that will make life in the kitchen more bitchin'. In the winter, Jesse and I use our air fryer every single day to make all plants and plantains beyond delicious. So, you know, if I were to take all the questions I receive from clients and followers and friends and cook them down into a stew, I would wind up with a huge, delicious pot of willpower. So I've begun working on something to help you with that. It's a project I've had brewing inside me that I'm soon going to pour into a mug and share with you like the most delicious matcha latte you've ever drank. If willpower is something you're struggling with, I encourage you to please, pretty please, with an organic cherry on top, take my short survey to alert me of your willpower woes so I can understand the absolute best way to help you never woe over willpower again. Go to partyinmyplants.com/willpower for this 30-second anonymous survey that'll help me help you leaps and bounds. That's partyinmyplants.com/willpower. And that's a thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Don't hesitate, you know, to pick up a copy of my book, Party in Your Plants, wherever books are safely and sanitarily sold. And I will chat with you again soon.